You'll catch that later. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles in the book of Isaiah, chapter 4. Isaiah, chapter 4. Thank you, church, for putting this camp meeting on. And it's just been such a blessing to be here and encouragement. And don't think now that the devil's going to take this laying down. He really wants to stir up some problems, and it'll take God's people watching out for the enemy trying to get in. Somebody will say something, and you'll take offense to it, and then you'll just be all upset about nothing. And I've seen churches split over nothing. So just be careful. When there's a big day with God, Satan usually tries to attack, so be aware. We don't have to fall prey to him. We don't have to be afraid of him. We just have to stand our ground and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and learn how to die to self, because that's what he attacks, the old nature. So learn to die to that. Learn that it's not about you. It's all about him. And so for the greater cause, you'll have to overlook some things and overlook some people. Amen? For the greater cause. So because it's all about him. Now, if you have your Bibles in the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, Isaiah is God's prophet sent to Israel. And God was so merciful all the way through the history of Israel, as he is still today, about when judgment was coming because they disobeyed God. There was the holiness of God demanded punishment for sin. And so God judged their sins, and many times he judged their sins. Many times he dispersed the whole nation to other nations, and they became captive to other and slaves to other nations because they refused to obey what God had told them to do. Now, before the judgment, God seemingly always sent a warning, a prophet to warn them. And so thank God for his mercy. We have to listen to the warnings that God sends. Now here's what he says is going to happen when the judgment comes. Notice in chapter 3, if you'll back up just a couple verses with me, verse 25. The war is going to break out. Many men are going to die. The Bible said here in verse 25, Isaiah said, "Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground." And so then he starts into chapter 4 and verse 1. "And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man." Poor man. Can you imagine how much makeup he'd have to buy? You'll get that later. I'll be back around Christmas, so y'all get ready to laugh when I come back. "That day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own bread. We will wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.'" So they've got a deal going. Seven of them get together and said, "Listen, there's not enough men to go around. So seven of us can get together. We can make a deal with this guy because it's such a reproach for us to be of age and not be married in society that we're living in." So they said, "What we'll do, we'll approach him and we'll say, let us wear our own apparel. You won't have to worry about us. We'll buy our own clothes." Now that'll be a good plus right there. Amen. Thank you, brother. This thing is pretty dry. All right. Now here what I want you to see this morning. So they become to make a deal with him. They said, "All we ask you for is to let us wear your name." And this morning, with that in mind, I just want to preach for a few minutes on this subject. having his name, but remaining the same. Having his name, but remaining the same. All the way through scriptures, you'll find out that Christianity means change. When you meet Jesus, there will be a change in your life. But here's what they're bargaining with this man. We want to claim your name, but we're going to do our own thing. I want you to notice that there's some things that never changed in these girls, the ladies' lives. Number one, their attitude never changed. Now, when you become a Christian, I guarantee you, your attitude will change. Amen? You've seen people that love the Lord. I mean, they got a good attitude most of the time. Amen? And then you see people who are lost and without God. They have a horrible, horrible attitude. Now, I want you to notice they had an attitude of independence. They had an attitude of self-sufficiency. And that's what they depended on. And that was their attitude toward their situation. And they said, we're going to wear our own apparel. We're going to eat our own bread. We're going to do our own thing. Just let us wear your name. And I'm afraid today there's a lot of people that way who profess Christ as their Savior, but their life has never changed. And I find that whenever a child of God or ever a lost person is under conviction and God is drawing them, He's showing them their lost condition. He's showing them how sinful they really are. And for the first time, listen, when God convicted me, I didn't know I was as sinful as I was. Am I right? Man, when the light dawned, I said, well, all them little things I've been excusing away, God said, that's sin. And I just kept excusing them away, But when the light dawned on me, boy, I realized that I was lost. You see, you're never going to come to Christ until you get lost.
Amen.
He only saves lost people.
Yeah.
He only heals sick people. And so that's why God, through the Old New Testament, old and new, gave the law first. Because the law brought condemnation. But here's what it did. It condemned me, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt... And I've come to find out, I done almost all of those things. But the law leaves me hopeless and helpless and totally outside of control of myself, and realize that I can't save myself because I cannot keep the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, by the law, God showed us what sin was. So, but that in itself, religion has come along, and religion says, well, you know, if you can get up on that first rung of the ladder, and you keep the first commandment, then you keep the second one, and you keep all. The only problem with that, no one has ever kept them all. And James said, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all the law. So the law had to condemn. And so Jesus comes on the scene after a world has been introduced to God's law and knows what sin is. Jesus came onto the scene and said, well, the Son of Man is not come to condemn the world. Why? Because the world had already been condemned because of the law. They didn't need a judge. They needed a Savior. And Jesus came to bring salvation to us. And so in the fact that I'm recognizing I'm a sinner, I recognize that I deserve to go to hell. Paul said about grace, the grace of God, he said, where is boasting then? He said, it is excluded. Why? We have nothing to boast about because we were over here lost and condemned before God on our way to burn in hell for all of eternity and could not help ourselves. So when salvation comes, wow, we say, wait a minute, Lord, how am I going to get to heaven? And Jesus appears on the cross and says to the world, I was punished for you. God's judgment fell on me because I was bearing your sins. And on that cross, he satisfied the heart of Almighty God. The demand of God, which holiness demanded that sin should be judged, was fulfilled that day when God took out his anger on sin on his own son. And he turns to us and says, as many, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you. When you understand God's plan of salvation, you and I have nothing to boast or brag about but Him. Got it? So what happens, and I said all that to say this, that when you come to Christ, your attitude all automatically changes because you understand you have no pride left. You have nothing left. God has stripped you down. You will not call upon Christ until you see your utter lostness and your wicked condition before Him. He's not just a fire escape, but He's a Savior for all mankind. Amen. And you have nothing to brag about. So your attitude begins to change once God reveals to you His real plan of salvation. So their attitude didn't change. But I want you to know, a lot of people, they claim to wear His name, but they don't like preaching. And I know some preaching I don't like either. That dry, dead, cold stuff, you know, when I should have brought my calendar instead of my clock. Man, you think, Lord, have mercy, will this guy ever get through? And some preachers think they have to finish their message. Why? We're on number 13, and we've got 14 points. We're almost through. And it done an hour and a half done rolled around. Now, that could I could do without that kind. But I tell you, when God's anointing His speaker, and God's touching the crowd, a Christian thrives. Amen. On the presence of God. Amen. Sometimes you won't even remember what exactly he preached on. You just remember how you felt while he was doing the preaching. It was God moving on the new person inside of you, and he was being filled and satisfied. And so all of this seems to change a Christian's attitude. When you find somebody in life that's always grumpy, gripe and complain about everything. One fellow said, you'd gripe if we hung you with a new rope. Gripe. I begin to wonder if that person has really ever met Jesus. I can't help but wonder. Man, you ain't got nothing to gripe about. This ain't about you. It's all about Him. And so their attitude begin to change, or our attitude changes when we receive Christ as our Savior. I noticed something else didn't change. Not only did their attitude not change, but I want you to notice their appetite didn't change. They kept said, we'll eat our own bread. Now in the Bible, appetite spiritually has to do with the things that you satisfy your soul with, the things you take in. Now, some people can thrive underneath the old man, see the old nature in us, can thrive on television all the time. But the new man is starved to death when the old man is thriving on television. And what we're feeding into it is going to help shape and mold our way of thinking and our way of life. And so God said, if you'll put that down, get that wicked stuff out of your mind and don't let it arrest your attention all the time. Don't let it keep feeding into your life. But if you'll feed on the Word of God and you'll feed on truths from His Word and you'll feed on the presence of God, then you see your appetite has changed. Before I was saved, I would drive 100, 200, 300 miles to hear Johnny Cash sing Ring of Fire. Now I wouldn't walk across the street, but I'll drive 500 miles now to get into a service where I know God is going to be there. I really don't care who's preaching. If I feel like God's going to be there, that's all I'm interested in. Because he feeds this new man. He grows this new man up. Why? So what you feed on in this life is going to determine what kind of Christian you are. If you're a worldly person and you keep giving in to the old flesh, then you're going to be controlled and dominated by the flesh. And listen, you can't serve two masters. You come to church and there's somebody's a shouting and a praising God. The Spirit moves and you're sitting over there like a knot on a log and you're wondering what in the world is wrong with all them other people. Got it? But them other people ain't the problem. It's the fact that your appetite has been satisfied with the old nature and with the things of the world. And you're not in tune with this new man in you. But if you ever get in tune, truth is preached with the anointed Spirit of God anointing it, and then it resonates in your heart and it creates worship and praise. You understand what I mean? And so, God help us, our attitude. Their attitude never changed. Their appetite, what you feed on. Listen, the devil will get you so busy, you don't have time to read the Bible. What's he doing? He's cutting you off from your source of appetite, and he's starving the new man down where the old man can take control. There's no convenient time to serve God. Did you know that? There's no convenient time to read your Bible. You just have to make time. I studied the lives of these old preachers, and I tell you what they did. They just made them a schedule. This is the time I'm going to get up. This is the time I'm going to meet with God. And while everybody else is asleep, I'm going to walk with God. One old preacher said, while men are awake, I'll walk with men. And while men are asleep, I will walk with God. And while there's time and quietness, I had to just push out a schedule and push everything out of the way and make time to feed this new man. And learn to feed from the Word of God. Read old books by old timers who knew God in a real way. Missionary stories where they sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed. I remember the story of William Carey who went to India. And on his way over there before he left, they said, Mr. Carey, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid of failing? And he looked at them and said, no, I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. Whew. We Americans, that's where we are. But their appetite. Now, I want you to notice something. Noah, when he got ready to find out if the flood had gone down and it was dry land, he sent out a raven. That raven never came back. Why? Because you see, that raven is a carnivore. It's a flesh-eating animal. It's a scavenger. And I just imagine floating on that flood, the floodwater, was all sorts of dead animals. And that raven got out there and he found something to feed on. He never came back. But God told Noah, throw another bird out. He threw a dove out this time. And that dove is not a flesh-eating animal. It's a grain. It has to be fed with grain and such like. And he got out there and he got to circling, looking at all that dead bodies. He probably said, I think I'll fast today. And flew back to the ark. Why?
because he could find nothing out there to sustain him in his diet, in his appetite. And I'm telling you, the world is constantly giving you things to feed on. I'm here to tell you, God Almighty has something in us, a nature in us, that can't find happiness, nor peace, nor satisfaction in the things we feed on from the world. Now, let me hurry on to say this right quick, but this last point is this. Their attitude didn't change. Their appetite did not change. But don't you notice their apparel did not change? What do you mean, preacher? Their apparel. Now, a preacher can get in a lot of trouble preaching what people ought to wear. Amen. Although some of us could improve. Amen. We got this modern age today that says, you know, just come looking like a beach bum, that'd be all right. And you know, in the eyes of God, I know that does not matter. But the old timers, when they came to church, some of them wore bibbed overalls. That's it. That's all they had. But I'll tell you what they did. Because they reverenced God and they reverenced his house, they put on the best and the cleanest they had. Am I right? Why? Because they had a respect for God. And the devil's doing his best to tear down respect of God today. And he just wants you to come. Well, anyway, we can go on to something else over there, right there. So I want you to notice that their apparel didn't change. Now, in the Bible, spiritual apparel. You remember the prodigal son? He got down in the far country in that hog pen. When he came back home, the father said, get the best robe. Put over him. Now, I don't know, being a Jewish boy, he probably did take a bath, but it's not mentioned there. But it's mentioned as though the prodigal came up with the mud and muck and mire on him and smelling no doubt like a hog. And you can't get hog sin off. You just got to wear it off. And the father said, get the best robe and put it on him. And I can see that robe draping over him. And everybody that looked at him didn't see the stench or smell the stench or see the mud. They saw that white robe of righteousness or that white robe around him. And the Bible tells us that when you and I are born again, when we get saved, that the Holy Spirit, you see, we have no righteousness of our own. And that cloth, that robe, is a picture of righteousness. Always is. And so we can't be good enough. God will not accept our righteousness because he said, your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. I will not accept that which you can produce. But I will let you receive what I've produced. And what you produce can never clothe you. It can never be satisfied. I can never be satisfied with what you produce. And I find this story amongst Adam and Eve in the garden. And they were, remember, the Bible said that they ate of the fruit. And what was the first thing that happened? They were what? Naked and afraid. And so, for the first time, they begin to realize they didn't have anything to cover them. And so, the Bible says they begin to sew fig leaves together. And they put fig leaves together, and they made coats, or they made coats for themselves out of fig leaves. Now, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not, but I'm from South Louisiana, and down there they grow a lot of figs. And fig leaves, most people in this part of the country don't know this, but fig leaves and fig juice is like cutting okra. You old timers know what it means to cut okra. You got to put long sleeves on and stuff like that. Let me just get it. It's like putting up fiberglass insulation in the attic on the 4th of July. Oh, it just itches you to death. And my mama would say, "Doyle, you climb up in the top of the tree and get them ripe figs in the top." And boy, I'd go through all them leaves, that juice rubbing all over me. And when I got to the bottom, I felt like I needed to be dipped for mange. It was, it was itching to me and scratching. I was wanting to take a bath. I mean, and I got to reading that Adam sewed fig leaves together. I said, "Lord, Adam, how dumb could you be? I mean, how come you didn't get a fern or something, amen? Not a fig leaf." And I can see, but it's a picture of man's religion. He just gets, it makes him miserable. "We've got to go to church this morning. We've got to do this and we've got to do that." Well, I thank God that 47 years ago, I swapped a religion I had to endure for a salvation I could enjoy. Nothing like Jesus. But I can see him going down through there like this. And Adam says to Eve, "Eve, your dress really looks nice." And she said, "And your trousers look good too." He said, "Yeah, I know, but they're killing me." God, I don't know how long they hid, but there was a period of time. I don't know how long they stayed in those fig leaves. Probably till they ran out of calamine lotion. There wasn't none back then. That's the joke. I don't know how miserable they were, but one day God came. They did pretty good as long as God didn't show up. And I find people in churches all over in fig leaf religion. And they're pretty good shape until God shows up.
That's right.
And God reveals what's really underneath. They're miserable. God came to Adam and Eve and said, "Come, Adam, where art thou?" And he wanted Adam to confess where he was, because Adam's not going anywhere until he realizes where he is. And he confesses about the sin. And God takes them to another part of the garden, and he slays two animals. And there he skins them. And he takes the skins after the blood has been shed, picture of Calvary. And he skins them, and he takes the coats of skin and makes clothes for Adam and Eve. Now Adam and Eve have peace and feel covered. Why? Because they're wearing that which God has provided. And if God is provided, that means God is satisfied with it. And if God is satisfied with it, I've got peace.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
So he's clothed them in the skins of a sacrificial lamb or animal. Just like he does you and I. When we come to Christ, we're naked and ashamed. Sins are exposed. The condemnation and the judgment of God is upon us. But we put faith in Jesus. And God says, "You have no righteousness. You cannot get to heaven without righteousness. So I'm going to take the righteousness of my son Jesus, who never broke a law, who established an account of righteousness. I'm going to take it out of his account and I'm going to put it in your account, and you're going to go to heaven because of his righteousness instead of yours."
Amen.
So God help us. Their apparel had to change. And when you got saved, God clothed you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I tell you, a lot of people today have his name, but they have remained the same. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now get this. It's not that he's perfect, because he still has an old nature that keeps pulling on him. But now he's got a new nature. And if he'll follow this new man, God will bring him right on away from that old man. Keep feeding the new man. Study the scriptures. Pray. Be in church every time you can to get in the presence of God. Do what you can to stay faithful. And this old man will begin to grow.
And the old man will begin to shrink. The old Indian chief got saved one day, and the missionary couldn't do much. He didn't have much time to disciple him or anything. Came back. The missionary had to leave. He came back in about a year and said, Chief, how are you doing? Oh, he said, happy, since I trusted Jesus. But he said, inside of me, there's a black dog and a white dog, and they're always fighting. Y'all get the picture? So this missionary says to him, well, Chief, which one wins? He said, whichever one I feed the most. You dabble in the world, you feed your old man, and he's going to take control of your mind, stir your emotions, capture your will, and you become a slave for 400 years in Egypt. We wonder why our churches, there's not much shouting or praising anymore. But for 400 years in slavery, they never built an altar. That means they never worshiped God. And they never served God. So when God told Pharaoh, told Moses to go down there and get them, he said, tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may worship me. Then he told him the second time, tell him, Moses, let my people go that they may serve me. 400 years in bondage. They had never worshiped God and they had never served God. Because you can't serve when you're in bondage. And you can't truly worship and be thrilled to your soul by the Spirit of God unless you're free and out of bondage. And there's many a person today that's in bondage to the flesh, Christians. Gives them a desire to read their Bible, gives them a desire to live right, but they keep yielding and going back to the old nature, letting it control them. So God help us. I pray today that if you have confessed His name, that you would never be the same. As we stand, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.